comes meet the sea in a clapboard shack by a broken down tree. There's a light in the window, just salty gals inside. I'm not sure if they're witches, but you know that's implied. Got the storytelling, ego swelling, pillow talking, moonlight walking, sea hags.
Welcome to the Sea Hags Podcast. I am Katie Nordgren.
And I am Chris Jeppa.
And with us today is a really cool guest. She is an information technology superstar. She's beautiful. She's very talented. She plays the mandolin. What else?
And piano.
Ooh.
And she's in a band with me in an 80s cover band.
What?
And, in fact, this
conflict
person,
of interest.
This person even played mandolin on our wonderful theme song that you just heard. Mm-hmm. So, hooray.
Hey, yay. Hello. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for coming.
We are, as always, recording live from our shanty shack down by the sea in East Vancouver.
I can hear the seagulls.
We have to do that every time.
We officially have a table, which is very
exciting.
Yeah, this
is great. Very professional.
We've been recording from the sofa that's like a falling apart IKEA sofa for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And now we have a table and it feels a lot more like doing a seance, which is very awesome.
Can we do that later? I brought a book.
Oh.
What is that?
It says Earth Magic, a Dianic Book of Shadows.
We can peruse this later. There's definitely a pentacle on the front of it, that looks super
we'll
legit.
We'll turn the lights off, lights and candles. I've got a lot of crystals up here.
We are good to go.
Sounds good. We're going to be exploring teen angst and teen witchery and teen vampirism.
Mm-hmm. Basically just our own slightly embarrassing in retrospect adolescences.
But it shaped who we are today, and that's very exciting.
Absolutely, and I think we're old enough now that, you know, it doesn't matter. We can look back and laugh. Right?
And laugh a lot.
And laugh and maybe cry.
Pretty funny how seriously we took ourselves as teenagers.
Yeah, Katie, I was definitely reading some of your screeds on your teenage website.
Oh, shut. Shush up.
I'm so glad. I just have to say this right now, that I went through my teen years before the internet, before social media. Websites that didn't exist, so there's like no record except for what we have.
Oh man, I could not find the password or access name for my teen website if I tried. Like, I had a gun to my head, I could not log back in and delete all of that. So
it's there forever,
preserved in perpetuity.
Yeah, I have a Red Hot Chili Peppers fan site that's still somewhere in the ether on GeoCities.
Wow.
Oh no, they got rid of all the GeoCities
pages.
I might see my pages on Tripod. I will not be giving the link for it unless someone asks me really nicely.
Maybe we'll link to it on our blog.
Oh, fuck.
Maybe not.
We'll see.
I had a GeoCities page, and it was just, I was learning how to use HTML and learning how to use targets. Remember targets, where it would just the link and it would go to the thing. So I just had lyrics, and I just typed up the lyrics for all their songs, and I had a lot of pictures of Anthony Kiedis being attractive, and then a lot of fire gifs.
Spinning skulls?
Well, it was mostly just flames, you know, animated flame.
Red hot?
Well, yeah.
Sorry, what should our listeners Google to find this fan site?
Oh, good Lord, I have no idea. I think if it's on GeoCities and Katie says it's been deleted, it's probably just lost to the ages.
There is the Internet Archive.
Yeah, and there's a Tumblr site that's dedicated to, it's like 1 terabyte of something or other. I can't remember what it's actually called, but it'll show you like the front page of an old GeoCities website based on the last date it was updated. So
So
there's all this stuff from like 2000 that it's like last time, like, this is my dumb page. I had to make it for my grade 10 class. Bye. I don't know why it's Bob, for some reason. It's his website.
It's always Bob. Cool. Oh, man. So before we get into all of that stuff, do you want to just see how people's weeks have been?
Yeah, let's do it.
How's your week been, Katie?
Oh, my God. Well, Erin asked me when she walked in today to our Sea Hags shack, asked me how I was doing, and I said, I'm wonderful. She's like, that's a little bit more enthusiastic than I'm used to hearing from people. But no, I'm just been really feeling myself lately, metaphorically, mostly. Mm. But,
not
you know, once in a while.
Way, but.
Oh, yeah. Well, a little, but, you know, mostly just like, hey, I'm cool and I like me right now, which is like, as someone who was an awkward teen who, you know, leaned very heavily on that nerdy, gothy, punky stuff, it's nice to finally go like, okay, I feel good with who I am right now. And I'm just, you know, I've been doing a lot of comedy stuff and that's coming along super good. Just having a really great social life. Just doing it up, you know?
And spring is in the air, and that you guys are going to be listening to this 2 months after this comes out, more or less, because we're actually, this is our last of our sort of archive-y episodes.
Yeah, till we launch.
And we launch for real in 2 weeks, but you'll be hearing this 2 months from now or something like that. So right now, spring is popping off, mm-hmm. and we're feeling...
Pow!
We're feeling some creative impulses.
Sorry, just a little air horn there.
Oh, man. Katie and I have been furiously G-chatting, like, constantly for the last 2 weeks just about brainstorming ideas, like, long-term goals and creative stuff that we're just, like, really vibing off each other right now, so.
I think that's part of why I've been feeling so good is, like, I've been working with my creative wife. So, and that's been, like, yeah, we just chat all the time, and it's probably a little codependent, but it's fine. We're fine. We're totally fine.
I realized, so I went to a comedy show by myself, because it's the Just for Laughs Festival in Vancouver right now, and I realized that you were hanging out with some other people that evening, and I was just like, well, I can't just keep texting her about this experience that I've been having, so I just journaled it all down.
I mean, you texted a fair bit of it to me, which I loved. I thought it was great. I was just laughing so hard about this asshole that you were describing. So I love it. Like, text me anytime.
Yeah, but I was realizing that normally I would, like, tweet stuff like that. You know, it's like, oh, I'm live tweeting my weird experience with this or that. Mm-hmm. But my phone is very old, and it doesn't respond to, like, typing as well anymore, so now I've just started writing things by hand, and honest to God, I feel like it really does, like, make me feel more creative somehow, even just to the act of writing something on a page rather than, like, typing. You know?
I hear
so, and so then I was just like, oh, I wrote down this, like, dialogue that I had with this person because I thought it was interesting, and then I, like, wrote a poem after, just randomly, just, like, free writing, and yeah, it feels really good. There's, like, a lot of good stuff flowing. In the spring, so I'm feeling nerdily creative as
Spring is the time when a young lady's fancy turns to just making shit and going out and being cool. I'm pretty sure that's how the adage goes.
Yeah.
Adage? How is that pronounced?
I don't know. Adage is correct.
Okay, cool. Thank you, Erin.
How has your week been?
I've been doing a lot of cross-stitching.
That's creative.
I was just telling Katie, like, yeah, I'm turning 40 this year, so I have completely embraced being an old lady, staying at home with my cat and cross-stitching. It's been pretty great. But also, I have been rehearsing with my 80s cover band, which is really awesome.
Amazing.
We've been having a lot of fun.
What's the name of the band again?
The Synthetics.
That's cool.
So it's all, like, that 80s synth kind of style, so it's just been fantastic.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Aw, do you have a guitar?
I have a guitar.
Oh, I was just being a sassy little asshole. That's exciting.
I have a guitar, but I haven't quite brought it out for this band yet, but it's inevitable. I'm getting there. I'm getting a little closer. So, yeah, it's been good. My partner was away this weekend, which is very unusual, like, for me to be home alone. So I was just like watching really sad movies and just basically bawling all weekend. But it was really
That's
good.
Amazing.
Like, I feel like I've really let out a lot of, like, pent-up tension as a result. So
good.
I'm feeling pretty mellow today.
That's awesome. Great. Yeah, get it. Like, you were bawling all weekend. I'm like, you were bawling in both senses
of
the word.
Yeah, I was bawling and then I was bawling.
But you know what? Emotions are, they're super punk rock. They're very cool. And you just bawl super hard and then you bawl hard.
Yeah.
That's how it works. I'm pretty sure. I like that you've been cross-stitching. That's, like, a very cool thing to do these days.
I guess so.
Textile crafts are the new hot jam.
Yeah, as long as you're like, cross-stitching, like, ironic phrases
onto a pillow.
I'm getting there.
Apparently Dame Judi Dench likes to cross-stitch dirty words onto decorative pillows. Which,
I could see
Did
that.
You not know this?
No. I'm delighted
Her and Maggie Smith, like, if they're filming together, Mags is doing her, she'll do a crossword puzzle. And Dame Judi Dench likes to cross-stitch dirty pillows.
Oh, my God. I just want to hang out with them.
I want them to be my best friends.
Yeah. So that's, like, we're all going towards that and embracing our eventual old ladiness. I always thought, like, I'm a Capricorn. All of my horoscopes have always been like, oh, you rule in old age, like, all of the stuff. And so I'm, like, gearing up to be, like, a fabulous 60-year-old.
You're going to be the most amazing 60-year-old.
But, like, I feel like I don't want to quite give into it just yet, but I feel like it. Like, you know, this weekend I barely went out. Going to a comedy every night on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday was, like, really tiring. Mm-hmm. Even though it's, like, the shows start on time, they finish on time. Like, it's better than going out to see live music, starts late.
So much better.
But just, like, going across town to go do a thing, it was just, like,
sometimes it's too much effort.
Yeah.
Today I went to Kitsilano to go to a piano recital, which a friend of mine was doing. And we were planning, we'll plan to take an hour on the bus. Mm-hmm. Hour and a half or more on the bus to get over to Point Grey. Like, it's really...
Boo.
And so we were, like, it was almost an hour, and we were still, like, waiting for the next bus to take us to the next thing, and Ed and I were like, we're not even out of East Van yet. Like, why do we bother? We did it for love, because our friend was playing a thing, and he did a great job,
and
it was awesome.
I'm sure he appreciated your sacrifice.
He sure did. We wound up taking a cab.
Oh, my God.
Because we were so late.
I can't blame you for that.
Yeah.
Like, you said, I just really want a car, and I know that's going to happen for you soonish. and that's going to be great.
Sweet.
Mm-hmm. I have a vehicle, but I did not pay for it, so that's why I have it. Yeah. Because if I had to pay for it, we would not.
Would not happen.
We'd have a shopping cart with like a riding mower engine or something.
Well, I love that we all live somewhere where you don't need to have a vehicle, and you can get through most of your life. Like if you didn't have a license, you'd actually be okay.
Oh, I know lots of adults who don't have their license. Mm-hmm. A ton of them, actually. Mm-hmm. And I know that some people are like, that's ridiculous. Like, well, you maybe don't live in Vancouver then. Or they've moved here from a place like from far away. Like my wife cannot understand anybody not having a car, but she's from Saskatchewan. So.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
She's like,
you started driving when she was 15, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Driving like a giant boat of a station wagon. You carry nine people around in it. Exactly, yeah. So I could easily get by without it. But I grew up in North Delta, and I did not want to take the 312 or the 319.
Yeah, the buses in the suburbs are pretty.
They suck dinks.
Awful. Yeah, I remember taking the 160. Like, I lived in Poco, and my boyfriend lived on, like, Oak and 20th.
Oofed.
And I would take the 160 all the way downtown, and then I'd have to catch another bus. And it was, like,
my God.
2 hours.
So arduous.
Ugh, it wasn't worth it.
Mm-mm. No, it seldom is.
No boy has ever
worth
that.
Even for true love, it's not really worth it.
It wasn't.
We have such a minimal amount of time on this crazy blue marble.
Yeah. That's, you know, a good book on a bus is a fine thing, I guess, but...
I can't read on the bus. Mm. I get sick.
Motion sickness?
Yep. Mm. Can't do it.
Well, podcast, maybe you're listening to this on the bus right now, ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen, and those of you who have yet to make up your minds.
And folks, general folks.
General folks.
Super
intelligent dogs.
On the bus.
Who's a good boy?
Who's a good boy? Are you a good boy? Is you? Yes, it is.
Wow.
Oh, boy. So I think that about catches us up.
Yeah, cool.
We're all having a good life.
Feeling pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Right on. Let's get into it.
Okay. What's the topic?
Oh, my God. Embarrassing adolescence not actually ashamed of, but maybe just a tiny bit. Maybe just a little bit. A little cringy.
I definitely have dropped... here and there so far on the podcast, my vampire party is in this and that. and Katie keeps like, this is new information to me. So
I knew you liked vampires. Yeah. That was not, you know, unknown to me.
But so there's that, and I'm actually very proud of how nerdy we were, like all the LARPing that we did.
I was just going to ask you if you LARPed.
Mm-hmm. Oh, she LARPed.
Did you also LARP when you were?
Of course I LARPed.
Oh my God.
Didn't we all?
No.
No, you didn't LARP?
I didn't LARP.
Okay.
No, I dated.
For the home listener, LARPing is live action role-playing.
I hope you got that in both ears just now. I really hope that was a binaural experience. I did not LARP. I dated some really hardcore nerds growing up. Well, I mean, growing up, I had a boyfriend for like 3 years in high school who was like a hardcore nerd. Like, definitely tried to take me to a Shadowrun game. And I was just like, I fucking hate this. I'm not disparaging it at all. I think gaming is wonderful. If I could flip a switch in my brain that made me like video games and like tabletop games and stuff, if I could do that, I would. If I could just suddenly wake up and love Settlers of Catan, my life would be a lot easier. Mm-hmm. Because I love nerds, and those are the only people I hang out with, and they're like, we're having a games, and I'm like, bye. I'm going to just stay at home and watch my Netflix, read my shitty books, and I just can't. There's a block, and I'm pretty sure it's just like me being resentful about staying in relationships too long as a young person.
That's a lot of baggage.
I will not play Settlers again.
Wow.
Those dumb little octagons of grain and water. Wait, are they hexagons or octagons?
I don't know. Don't email us.
Please don't email us.
But I'm kind of the same way that, like, I really enjoyed, playing Vampire the Masquerade as, like, a thing, but I never got into Dungeons & Dragons.
Either. I think Dungeons & Dragons is, like, a 70s thing and then, like, maybe a holdover into the 80s. But by the time I was in high school, nobody played D&D. But there was that whole new generation vampire and mage and things
so
like that.
So when I was in high school, so that's, like, in...
Late 90s, early 2000s.
Yeah, there was like a little clique of guys that played Dungeons & Dragons in the cafeteria, and magic cards were a huge thing.
Oh, magic, right.
So I learned magic cards, and I enjoyed it, sort of, but there's just something, I just have a block for those kinds of games, too, and it's just like strategy and...
Sure.
Like fighting and battles and powers and all that kind of stuff, where I'm just like, I don't even really like chess. Like,
Yeah.
You like the performance aspect of it, right? Yeah. And so the actual, like, role-playing.
Exactly. So my favorite part of doing any kind of LARPing activity was the live-action part. Mm-hmm. And the character creation was always my favorite. Yeah. So you'd, like...
The making your vampire goblet part of it.
Well, yes. And so, like, you'd spend a lot... Well, I would spend a lot of time, like, writing a whole intriguing backstory for the character, all of this history and how she got to this point and blah, blah, blah. And then in every, like, LARPing game, you would, like, spend the whole first time would just be everyone telling you about their character as if they were... It always starts where you go into a tavern and you're sitting down at a table and then someone else enters dramatically and sits down at the table with you and starts sharing the story. And then everyone kind of all coalesces and it's like, oh, we're this roguish band of travelers that have all been separated from whatever. Maybe we need to start a quest together, right? Mm-hmm. But the first, time that we all played, it was all just about sharing this backstory. And that was really fun. And then it'd be like, okay, let's meet next time and actually go on the adventure. And then it's like, we walk to a cave. There's bats in the cave. I light a torch for the bats. And blah, blah, blah. I got really bored after
that. Right. So there's no character development. You're like, the things you're doing aren't dependent on this character that you spent all this time creating. They're just a player.
Yeah. So I found a lot of... awesome creativity in IRC chat, where you would go into, like, it was, like, hashtag tavern, whatever. You could go rooms, and then people would just be, like, text.
Hashtag tavern.
Well, because that's where hashtags came from, was IRC,
right? We
didn't
call them hashtags, but that's fine.
Well, yeah.
Oh, my God.
It's okay.
Sorry, I'm nerd actually. Mom. Oh, you actually did us so good just now. I love that. It's tattooed on my face.
I know you're talking about massive multiplayer online dungeons. MUDs.
Yes, but like, was it only text based?
In my day, it was only text based.
Yeah. So, like, these,
I'm sorry, what?
But these were literally just like an IRC chat room.
Yeah.
And there was also ones for like cat fanciers and like people liked traveling. But then this one was like specifically for like Vampire the Masquerade type people. And then you could have private chat rooms where you would go and chat with people. And like everyone would like try to make like a grand entrance so that people would want to talk to them, you know? And it was always like, Darth Ravenclaw. That's not a Raven.
Darth Ravenclaw? No, I like that. That's a cool
name.
That works.
Okay, whatever. Darth Ravenclaw, Prince of Darkness, like, enters the tavern, opens his fledgling cloak when, like, a whole bunch of bats fly out of it, and then he, like, summons some lightning and just basically a big show of might and power so that people at the tavern might be like, ooh, who is this mysterious stranger?
Wow. If somebody
spent her time doing...
If I was in a bar and someone walked in with a cloak
full of bats
and opened it up and a shitload of bats flew in, I'd be like, where is the hospital? I really need a rabies shot immediately. And please call someone to take this man away because there's something wrong with him.
Unless it was the Stormcrow and they'd be like, oh, it's Thursday night.
That's just Jeremy. You know? Fucking Jeremy. He always ruins our good time.
Oh, God.
He's got a lot of bats in his belfry, you know?
But I just found that... Jeremy. I just found that really satisfying because it was mostly text-based. So it just felt like improv storytelling.
Yep.
And rather than getting caught up in all the rules and the mechanics of the game. And I think that's what really... Yeah, I'm very personally averse to, like, having lots of gear and lots of things that you need to manage and lots of different rules and lots of different tactics.
And waiting for other people to take their turn and just taking fucking forever. Mm-hmm. Hate that shit. So I only play Scrabble against myself.
Wow.
I take a hard line stance on this.
Scrabbling
I don't like collaboration.
I'm just scrabbling with myself.
We haven't alienated all of our listeners.
Yeah, I had a triple word score.
But our listeners, Aaron, come on. No, just totally.
All six of them.
Speaking of
IRC, I spend a lot of time on the Gothic IRC channel.
Oh my God.
Kind of a big
What was your username?
Hexalyn.
Oh, yeah, that's the same one you use sometimes.
For a long time.
That's a cool name, though.
It was bestowed upon me when I was 15 years old. I had a friend who was, he was kind of like our, I don't know, he was like a kind uncle. This is getting really creepy. He was like in his 20s.
We sat on his lap a lot.
Yeah, and he would host these parties. He was like a plumber, like his dad owned a plumbing business.
A plumbery, I believe it's called.
A plumbery. And one day he was flipping through a catalog and there was a sink style called the Hexalyn. It was like a six-sided sink.
Ooh.
And he's like, oh, that's too pretty a name for a sink.
It should be Aaron's name.
You are now Hexalyn Lufkin.
Yeah, the screwdriver company.
Yeah, so that's stuck, and it's still, and I still use it to this
it's
day.
It's a lovely, lovely username, and it's like slightly uncommon, but it's like not gross and weird or anything, or unwieldy.
Unless you Google Hexalyn, you see all these sinks.
But then you're kind of kept in a bit of like anonymity in that way as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, until now. Am I a sink or am I a woman? You'll never know.
She's more sink than human.
It's the shittiest kind of cyborg you could possibly be.
You might say I'm multifaceted.
I have to go home now.
You just won at our podcast.
That was me walking away.
There's more to come, ladies.
Oh, that's some good Foley artistry
that
right
was
there.
Really good.
I'm walking away.
This is Katie leaving the room.
That's what a door sounds like when you close it.
Well, kind of.
No, I'm not actually going to open the door.
Okay.
Right, anyways, do you guys want to see pictures of me
in the 90s? A great thing for a audio medium.
We're going to describe these photos.
Yeah, that's exactly. No one's ever going to see these except for you guys. So this is really early on. This is like grade 8.
You got some good.
What? I had
good
a crimp. Perm.
How dare you look beautiful in grade 8? I'm furious.
Honest to God, you look kind of the same. You like.
It gets much worse.
Your friend looks just like Jennifer Beals. Like, does she not look like the chick from Flashdance?
Oh, yeah. I never noticed
She's
that.
She's beautiful. Yeah. Like, how dare you be 13 and pretty? That's not fair. <It's> just... I'll pull up my 13-year-old picture.
And then this happened.
Oh, my. Is that you?
That's me.
Wow, you look so different.
Oh, my God. So you look like you just stepped out of the Sandman. That's so, that is like a Neil Gaiman-y comic look. That's beautiful.
She's got a purple, is it like silk jacket?
Yeah, kind of. It's satiny.
And satiny and dark eyeliner and then dark eyebrows that you painted
and like
on.
And a blue streak in your hair like in the 90s, which was like a harder thing to accomplish then.
Yeah. Wow, lots very like mistakes. Statuesque. I like it.
Can we address my grade 8 and 9 photos from this?
We can.
This is why I'm angry at you for being beautiful at 13, because that is a man's Tommy Hilfiger shirt that I got at Costco, and you can't see it, but there are holes in it from where I let my guinea pigs eat it. I have braces, I have glasses my mom picked out, and you can't see it really very well here, but there's a patch on my hairline where I had shaved off a cowlick that I had because it was annoying me, so I shaved it, so I just had this patch of shaved hair that it took me like 5 years to grow it back in because I just kept shaving it. Then this is a really good look from grade 9 when I got my hair cut finally. I still had braces, so I closed my mouth. That is a tank top over top of a t-shirt.
As you remember
as you do. And I just look so angry.
You do
like
look
I was
really
so
angry.
Sour.
You're
I was so sour.
Mad.
And then there's grade 10 where I'm like, hey, now I look exactly like I do today somehow.
Wow.
My hair is the same color in this picture.
What a transformation from grade 9. Isn't that, like, I'm the same way. Like,
this
grade
is when
9
I got
grade 10
friends.
Was a huge.
I got friends in between these pictures being taken,
and
which was.
Smiling.
And when you're smiling, the whole world smiles with you.
I have a big photo album.
My illicit lip piercing that I got in 10th grade. I
love it.
It's like the first person to get a body piercing at my high school.
So this is my
grade. Oh, I love this one. Look at you.
Yeah, so this was my grade 9 picture. So I'm wearing like a green
peasant top.
But it's like it's all crocheted. So I basically inherited a bunch of my mom's clothes from the 70s and just wore them all the time.
Sweet.
So I was in bell bottoms and crochet.
You look
stuff.
Very pretty in that picture.
But I also it's when I first got braces, so my upper lip is so swollen.
Oh no.
And I don't smile at all.
Yeah.
But my transformation was between grade 6 and grade 7. So grade 6, I was just like real chubby
just, like,
with
just
like
a child.
Yeah.
Basically, like
and
a
then,
child.
And then, then grade 7 was here where I basically just like, I got a lot more casual. I just started wearing jeans and t-shirts.
Just keeping it cash,
like,
you know?
Just like had like long straight hair and it was just like parted in the middle.
God,
so I was
so
like,
cute.
I was very fussy for a long time and then just got kind of chilled out about it.
You look really like you're confident in who you are. Like you've kind of found yourself really early.
Oh, yeah. I would believe that for sure.
Yeah, I never looked that confident in any of my pictures.
Yeah, this is my grade 12.
So I love
definitely.
It.
So
yeah.
this is the outfit.
You're sitting on a plinth?
She's sitting on...
Is that a plinth?
It's
Are
marble.
You on a plinth? A
yeah.
marble plinth.
So, you know, like
because you're a goddamn work of art, Chris.
Aw, thank you. The photo studios would provide, like...
Justin's?
Shitty it was Justin's.
It would be Justin's.
They would provide shitty backgrounds and then props so you could lean against a ladder,
wow.
But I chose a marble pillar to pose myself on. This is the outfit. It's like a black dress.
And look at how high this comes. I know.
The slit,
like,
the slit goes up to pretty high, like mid-thigh.
Yeah.
And I wore fishnets a lot and like dark medallions and then vampire fangs. But only on Thursdays.
You wore Thursdays
when
vampire
Jeremy
day.
Arrived at the Stone Girl on Thursday.
Thirsty
Chris was waiting there.
Jeremy's Batson.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
So, wow. Hang on. If we're talking goth, though, let's just like go a little bit further. Oh, yeah. Grade 11 and 12.
Oh, yeah. That's a great. Okay, that haircut.
This is where I sort of kind of got into sort of having short hair. Like, I'm not somebody who can pull off long hair. It doesn't look good on me. So I've got a spiky collar.
Yep.
I got my, finally, like my box shaped, like thick rim glasses, which was a good choice for me.
Because before you had very thin like, but wire large frames. Glasses.
Yeah. Yeah. So I've got my spiky collar, my black hair, and that is a mesh sleeve top.
Yep.
And I wore it 3 times a week easily. Like, I loved it so much. I got it at Hot Topic. My mom took me down to Bella's Fair, which is in Washington, if you're curious, listener.
Can you say that again?
Washington.
Washington, all
right. And I'm pretty sure I got several pairs of, like, fat pants, mm-hmm. like with, like,
oh
a flame,
God, I remember
like a flame
that.
Fabric oh, in the yeah. side, or, like, just nylon pants that you could just zip off and turn them into jorts, basically. Or short. I guess shorts are not jeans, but, and then this is, like, a fake corset I got at Hot Topic with, like, yeah, so.
I had that same haircut.
It's like the frontal, the reverse mullet.
Yeah.
Where it's long in the front and short in the back.
I just love that with the little wisps in
the front. But then it was ruined by that lady from John and Kate Plus 8. I believe her name is Kate. And she really wrecked the like reverse mullet for me, which is too bad.
It's called a graduated bob, and that's what I get every time I get my haircut.
It's called hentai, and it's art.
I also had a raver phase where I wore, like, neon fat pants and lots of candy bracelets.
Oh, yeah.
But again, like, my mother, my sweet, sweet mom, she, like, made them for me. And she had, like, aww. An old blanket from the 70s that was bright orange and fuzzy, and she sewed those into pants.
I love how
Joanna's the best.
Made me, like, capes, velvet capes and cloaks, and, like, just, she did not approve of the hair dyeing and the tattoos and stuff, but she did appreciate the fact that I wanted to dress up when I went to school, so she'd be all like, I'll make costumes for you.
I'll make you a cloak.
Yep.
That's a nice thing.
Yeah, it's really nice.
My mom also made me a cloak. I have it in the storage.
It's nice that my mom is not a textile creator. She's a real, she's like a 1980s businesswoman. She's Murphy Brown. I legitimately thought, like, because when I first saw Murphy Brown, I'm like, that's what my mom does because she wears, you know, shoulder pads and she's got that, like, tight, like, poofy 80s hair.
Yeah.
And briefcase and business and I'm doing business. And that's like, I just assumed my mother did what Murphy Brown does because that was the one
what
piece of
what did Murphy Brown do?
She was a newscaster.
Oh, okay.
My mom was a telecommunications like manager or something.
Same thing.
Yeah, but she couldn't sew, but she did take me to Hot Topic.
Yeah, so thanks to our moms for encouraging our weirdness. So
yeah, it's
look how we turned out.
Pretty good,
pretty
honestly.
Good. Thanks, Mom.
Like, pretty good.
Yeah, no, we're fine.
We're fine. We're totally
anyway,
fine.
So Aaron, this is me in grade 11.
Oh my goodness. Okay, so
how pale are you?
I'm so
in your
pale.
Skinny puppy T-shirt.
Are you wearing like cake powder makeup at
yes.
the time.
You really look like Dana Scully in this picture.
You really look like your son.
Oh, geez.
Or your son looks like you.
Yeah.
Like, he's around that. No, definitely younger.
Yeah.
Younger, but still.
12.
Yeah. But still, like, the same facial
features.
You
look features beautiful. Like,
sure.
This is a really cute picture. Oh,
she's got honestly. Really, really short hair, or it's pulled back?
It's short, yeah.
Yeah, it's like a short red headband. Like, very pale makeup on your mm-hmm. face. I don't know if that is, like, if
no,
you made yourself
that's
paler.
That's makeup, yeah.
Right. And a Skinny Puppy t-shirt, which I believe... Skinny Puppy is Vancouver-based, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep. Oh.
I used to date an industrial DJ. Hi, Mike. So that's the only reason I know about
right,
that.
Cool, cool.
And
I used to go bowling with Skinny Puppy.
That's pretty fucking cool, Aaron. No big deal
no
or anything.
No big deal, but, like, Kevin Key was really into bowling, and I was friends with girlfriend, so I'd go bowling with them. It was pretty great.
That is really cool. Yep. That is like major goth cred right there. Mm-hmm. Bowling cred.
That was my first band.
Is that you on the mic?
That's me on the mic.
Oh,
look
my
at
God.
How precious.
Look,
look
like
at this.
Fiona Apple looking.
I'm so into it. I really liked Sarah McLachlan.
Oh my God. No, this is a beautiful
when she first
photograph.
Came out. Yeah.
Also, I don't know who this is, but I would have followed him around like a sick puppy.
So
like a skinny puppy.
His brother's like a famous musician in The Matinee. Have you heard The Matinee?
No.
No? Okay.
I'm not up on the things.
But yeah, just like a sweet teenage boy with long curly hair playing guitar.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
My true weakness as well.
With his tank top. And his little skinny, muscly arms. I'm like, call me.
Yeah.
Call me cutie pie. I'm sure he's like a gross middle manager now or something.
No, he actually works for like NASA or something now.
What?
He's like
a space rocker.
He's
a
rocket
great.
Scientist.
Yeah.
I like that you know what's up with him. That's really great.
Yeah, we're still friends.
Yeah, in this picture, like, Erin's got her eyes closed just in reverie, like, in a silent reverie, if you want to quote Sarah McLachlan.
If you do, and I do.
Thank you.
And just like, yeah, long black dress.
You spent all your time waiting. For this, well, this is like a first chance for a break that'd make you okay.
Yeah, I was fumbling
towards ecstasy.
Anyways, this is a little later.
Oh my gosh.
Let me just describe this image here. Okay, so we're looking at some Halloween decorations. There's a pumpkin.
It was a Halloween party, yeah.
There is a jack-o'-lantern that appears to have a cigarette in its mouth. There is a cross, like a grave, but it's covered in chains because that's really fucking cool.
That's really goth.
And I say someone's dressed as a devil and they're just dressed in black. You can't really see her. But then we've got, is that you at the back there?
Yeah.
With the like tiny bangs?
Yeah.
Like the halfway down your forehead
bangs?
Yeah,
like bangs. They're like just like
super
this.
Dark hair. It looks like you've got like dreadfalls in or something.
That's a wig.
Okay, yeah. And you're wearing like an emerald green crushed velvet gown with like lots of strings hanging off of it.
That's my grad outfit.
It's beautiful. And your friend is definitely dressed as like that sort of candy goth Ferrugia Bulk.
Yep.
The craft sort of deal.
Oh my heart. Oh my god.
So she's like a sexy dead doll, I wanna say, is her costume probably.
Probably. It's kind of like a Raggedy Ann.
She's got something on her hair that's kind of like
she had like corn braids.
Or maybe like a maid's outfit.
Maybe.
I kind of want to. Can I take a picture of this picture and then put it on our recap just so that there is like some photo evidence here?
Yeah, like, what are they talking about?
It's not going to be a great. It won't be like a scan. But you guys go ahead. I'm just gonna get some media for.
Oh, that's really amazing. I don't know.
Oh, that's so good. That's great.
This is my grad photo.
Yeah.
So I'm in like.
Can
a
I post this?
Fantastic.
Absolutely.
Who's great. The guy?
That's Peter Williams. He's a physiotherapist now on the Sunshine Coast. We played cello together in orchestra.
Aww. He's extremely cute.
He's
you
very
look
attractive.
Absolutely beautiful. And that dress I remember very well.
Thank you. I still have it. And I've worn it for many a Halloween as well, but it's like a dark, like blood red corset with black trim, and I have a beautiful black shawl, and I got my makeup done professionally in my hair. And I got him to wear a matching tie, which
that's
is
great.
Very sweet.
That's so great.
Yeah. So
that's hilarious.
That was super gothy. And then I have the picture of us at the after party where we were on a boat.
After the party.
And
the
I put
party.
In my vampire fangs. And I just went around, like, biting people.
Whoever you're biting does not know. She's like, I'm not sure if
oh,
I
Oh, I love
she's
got
this.
The She's got the, that super cool, like, 2001, 2002. She got, like, a belly shirt on.
Yeah.
And she's got these super low-rise Britney Spears pants with, like, a huge fuck off belt, like with a big old belt buckle. You're like, I can't wait to get a rash from that on my lower tummy. You know?
I wondered how that.
Yeah, but she looks pretty unimpressed, which she shouldn't because she's got a hot goth lady hanging off of her.
That's pretty fun.
Get with the program, girl.
I got to, on that boat trip, it was our post-grad boat trip so that you wouldn't drink because you were out
dry
on a boat.
Dry grad?
Yeah, it was dry grad. Dry grad, captive. But out on the ocean.
So kind of wet.
Yes. But our law teacher snuck cigars on and whiskey, and there was a small inner circle that he, like, shared whiskey and cigars with a few of us, and it was so
bad. He's now retired and or dead.
Oh, no, he's definitely retired. Okay. I don't know if he's still with us, but he's definitely retired, and he was amazing and taught me so many great things just about life and all that.
And
like,
whiskey.
As a law teacher, this is something that I hope that they would teach in law in high school all the time. He taught us how
there
to...
There was law in high school?
It was an elective.
Okay.
And he taught us how to use and navigate the residential tenancy board and, looking for your first apartment.
Yeah.
All of your rights when being, like, searched by a cop or whatever and your right to refusal, like, all of those kinds of rights. And
that's kind of practical and
yeah,
stuff.
Like
yeah.
that. And then there was one other thing. Which obviously I didn't retain, but the apartment thing and the RTA, I've had to use that so many times with landlords and their rights and how, you know, you can only enter a suite after blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So that's very good. Anyway, I diverged very
But a
rapidly.
Great teacher and clearly stuck with you.
Yeah.
And just a bit of a little shit, you know, just bringing that stuff on a dry grad cruise. Almost everyone at my dry grad was blasted. Like, I can't imagine suffering through that sober.
I was
sober.
I was sober.
Yeah.
My band played the dry grad, which was kind of
fun.
Like, yeah, it was okay. And then we went and walked for hours and got really drunk, but that was okay.
That's fun.
Yeah.
No, I remember dry grad because every time I go to the liquor store now and they're raising money to, like, support dry grad, I'm like, I'm giving you nothing. I hated dry grad.
Yeah.
Fuck all y'all. wet grad for everyone. Yay. Irresponsible choices.
I don't know. It was a weird thing where it's like, I don't know what they do in other schools that aren't, because I grew up on the Sunshine Coast, so it's right mm-hmm. by the ocean. So they took us on like a little boat, and we had like, it was like a casino kind of boat. So we all played with like fake chips and had a fun time. They kept us on the boat till 5 a.m.
Wow.
And then brought us back to school for breakfast. And then you could like, you cashed in all your chips to like auction on prizes and stuff like that. So that's how they kept you.
And were the teachers on board? Was that
there
like
were a few chaperones and stuff like that?
God bless them.
Right?
Yeah. What a and sacrifice so, with a bunch of teenagers to 5 a.m. on a mm-hmm. boat. Can you imagine?
So
no,
like,
thank you.
It was pretty wholesome. I know that people definitely snuck booze on, and there were definitely people were doing like hand stuff in the bathroom.
Hand stuff.
Like hand sanitizer?
No, no.
Yeah, like, they're gonna need that.
No, like finger banging.
Hand jobs.
Anyway, but like I remember it being kind of a cool thing, sort of. But
yeah,
I still,
nice.
I don't know. But what did they do? What did they do in Delta?
Oh God, it was really similar, but it was like at the rec center basically, yeah. And
they just
it was,
lock the doors.
There was like the fake gambling, pretty much. Like the fake gambling. There was like karaoke. Mm-hmm. Which all things that I actually really don't like gambling. So, but like fake karaoke, real karaoke. I love karaoke, but it was just so. Okay, I'm remembering something about it now, and I think I know why I'm bitter, is because we had done, like, the fake gambling, we get the chips, right? And then you do the silent auction. And I really wanted this white noise machine. Like, even then, I was so misophonic. Like, I hate this, like, background noises and stuff. I just wanted something to just be, like, over my whole life. And somebody else fucking won, and I was so angry, because I was just, like, I kept going back and, like, bidding more and fucking, like, Angela won it or something.
And Angela doesn't need a white
Angela
noise
doesn't
machine.
She need
loved
it.
The noise.
She loves it. She just like wanted to win something, but I wanted that specific thing. So I'm going to kill her and take it from her.
There's free white noise generators available on the internet now, Katie.
There wasn't at the time, though. This is it's a principle.
I know what I'm getting Katie for her birthday.
No, I mean, I'm good. I got my white noise machine.
Okay. Now. I'm an adult. I can buy myself.
I can buy a $12 noise machine.
Aaron,
yeah, dry grad's so fun.
Can you tell us about your first band? Like, so this picture is so precious, and you look like such sweeties.
Yeah,
what were you called? I don't know if Aaron wants all of these pictures on the internet.
Some of them are okay.
I'll get your input before I post anything.
Yeah. So this is. I have a cassette tape. I'm gonna open it up. If, for listeners who've never seen or heard a cassette tape before, it kind of sounds like this. Basically, it's a piece of magnetic tape that's wound in a plastic casing, and you place it into a machine that reads it.
Oh,
it's
wow.
It's all magnets, guys.
Magnets. How do they work?
Fucking magnets.
And basically, like, we recorded this in our friend's basement. We on DAT tape.
Oh, yeah.
Back in the day. And, oh, actually, no, this one was... Yeah, this one was DAT tape. The previous one was on reel-to-reel.
Wow.
And then we had it sent to a cassette duplicating company. And I had to, like, hand make all the, like, little inserts with my desktop publishing program and print
my
them on
God.
My printer.
This was what year?
The lyrics.
1996.
Can I read out the titles of the songs?
Sure,
is that okay?
Sure, why not?
We've got Hurt It All, My Backyard, Andromeda, As We Are, Ascension, Breathe, and In Touch. Pretty good stuff.
Classics.
Very classic. Casa del Sol.
So I've never
House of
really
the Sun.
I never really loved the name of the band. It kind of was named before I even joined it, which is fine. But basically it was a bunch of dudes who all went to Unitarian Church together.
Sure.
I met the drummer through my best friend because they were dating for a little while. And then it turns out I knew him as well through modeming, which I can talk about as well if you want.
BBSs?
And, yeah, the BBSs and the check groups.
This is recorded July 1996.
Yeah. So that's...
At Abbey Lane Studios,
yeah,
the fucking basement.
The basement.
This is absolutely dear and darling, and I love it.
So I have nothing to play this on anymore. I can't play cassettes, but I have a copy of it. So
nice.
Can't fold this correctly.
So yeah, it was when we played. I mean, we were all underage, so we played a lot of we played Ceylon Hall and
Did you do the Java Joint out in Surrey ever?
Java Joint, yes, we did.
Yes, I used to goth dance at the Java Joint when I was 15.
What if you guys crossed paths?
Oh, wouldn't that? Well, I don't think
you would have been of legal age by the time that I was partying at the Java Joint. So I hope at that point you were not wasting your time with no alcohol. And like a shitty fog machine.
Yeah, it would have been like 96-ish. So
yeah,
yeah.
but that's great.
Yeah, it was a good experience. I think we kind of sucked. But, you know, that's where I met Gord. Gord became our bassist, mm-hmm. and I still play music with him.
Yep. So. He is now the newest recruit in the Creaking Planks as well. He's joined us for that. Yep. So
that's awesome.
Yeah. So, yeah, just, like, practiced in a basement in Coquitlam, in Kit's basement, and played a lot of really bad shows. But, you know, Surrey Rec Centers, like, that kind of thing. Like, just we did the rec center circuit. But, you know what? It was a good experience because, you know, you have to learn somewhere, and you have to be exposed to all kinds of audiences, mm-hmm. and teenagers are the worst, so if you can get through
basically
that...
Basically the worst.
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely was in, I'm doing air quotes, bands in high school, like in junior high and stuff, but I never, that's like when I started playing bass, was basically with people that I went to youth group with, mm-hmm. so it was like sort of a tacitly Christian band, but we didn't really care about that part of things, and it was never good. We never recorded anything, but we would like draw designs of our logos and stuff.
I seem to recall
one of the bands had Bex and Jasta in it. Jasta might at some point be a guest on the cast, but we don't know. Can't say for sure.
Into the future.
No, but our band was, our fake band was called Los Nitos.
Oh, another Spanish inspired name. Interesting.
Faux Spanish, like we don't speak it at all. But we really just basically jammed out on Nirvana covers in Bex's attic and drew all over the walls and had to, you know, shout down to her mother like, "We're not burning any drugs up here. It's just paper." You know, we're just burning paper.
It was drugs though.
It was drugs.
Of course, it was drugs.
It was drugs the whole time. We would steal roaches from her dad's workshop.
Oh.
And, so we would just kind of, like, leave them, and it would be very easy to, like, collect them up and then try to roll them into a crappy joint.
Ew.
And we're like, we're so bad. We were, like, 14, though. Like, give us a break.
I was never in any bands in high school. I
can't believe that.
I was in band. I was in band.
Oh, okay. See, so, I was never in band. Mm-hmm. I was in bands.
Yes. So I was a band geek. I played the flute. So, yeah.
You must have had a great time when American Pie came out.
Sure did. Got a lot of
band camp jokes.
A lot of band camp jokes. And I went to band camp regularly, but I played the cello at that point,
finally. Have you seen a flute? It's not good for that purpose.
That little A-flat key kind of comes out this way, though.
Oh, God. That's not... How would you clean it?
Yeah, that's fine.
Oh, God.
No, I'm so sorry. But yeah, I was definitely in band all the way up until grade 12. It was very uncool. Like at our high school, the drama kids were super cool, but the band kids were still really not cool.
Oh my God, I wish that was true at my school.
Yeah, and we played just a lot of shows, and I got into playing cello, and then started in grade 12. Once the grads got to have the upper hallway at the school, and that was like our territory, and all the grade 12 classes were on the, so it's like they were kind of segregated from the rest of the school a little bit.
As it should be.
Yeah,
I'm pro-segregation.
Rule the school a little bit.
Age segregation.
Yeah, only age segregation. Age. Everything else is...
But then I started taking, because we had this like little lounge at the back with couches and stuff like that, and I started bringing my cello to school and just like playing cello in the hallway.
Oh, nice.
And then my one friend like brought his acoustic guitar, and we would jam sometimes, and we're like, oh, we're going to play together at this or that, and it never happened. Mm. But yeah, I was never, my first band was once I got into first year university, and I didn't know how to jam, didn't know how to do anything other than read sheet music. And it took me a long time to overcome that, like, classical training.
Yeah, sometimes I think, like, having a classical background, like, actually learning how to play and being, like, wedded to sheet music is actually, you know, it's counter to the playing with other people mentality. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So, you know, you can be a really accomplished musician, but, you know, when it's time to play with other people and improvise and understand, like, how songs are structured, you can't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One time we're sitting around in the dorm room with Bob and Mark and a bunch of other people, and we're playing like Bob Dylan songs and Radiohead songs, like just with only a few chords, right? Mm-hmm. And I was sitting there with a sheet of staff paper, and I would just like hastily write out something.
Yeah.
And then I would show the paper, and maybe I think this is mostly my friend Josh, like I would show that to him, I'd be like, is this a good solo? He's like, I don't know how to read sheet music. He's like, why don't you just play? And I was like, well, I'll play what this is. So I'd play it, and it's like it sounded good, and then they'd be like, oh, let's keep the solo going, keep going, Chris. And I was like, but I ran out of sheet music, like it was so hindering. And I basically just had to be like, I have to learn how to extricate myself from the sheet music shit.
I have a hard time believing that, even though I knew you then. I think that's the year I met you, probably
something like that,
like your first year, because I met you when I was 18.
Yeah,
so Yeah, but I've always just thought of you as a very, very competent improviser.
Yeah, so. No, it's definitely something, a skill that I learned just through practice mm-hmm. and through playing with other people. So, like, being in bands is really awesome, and I'm kind of jealous that you guys did it in, like, high school. It's kind of cool. But.
We were terrible. We were really awful.
Oh, my God. Well, this is making me think about, like, just how earnestly you do music when you're a teenager. Like, even if you're bad, it doesn't matter, because you're like, you take it so seriously. Like, mm-hmm. it's so like, this is my identity now. And that's how I felt. Like, I don't want to speak for anybody else, but I remember like being very bad at it, but still like so into music, like, mm-hmm. like, so like, this is so important. Like, I want to do like my high school, you were talking about age segregation just now, and I know it's changed, but while I was in high school, they still had a separation between junior high and senior high, so it was mm-hmm. 8, 9, 10,
yep.
and then you had 11, 12.
Yep.
And so same everybody here. Fed into North Delta Senior Secondary, which yep. just had grade 11, 12, and there was 1,200 kids, so it was a big wow. school with two grades.
Oh my God.
And I loved it, and there was a really, really good drama program and a really, really good music program, and the music composition program.
What?
Did you not know? Oh, I've not talked about this before. They have band, but they also have music comp. Music wow. comp 11 and 12, and you would just, like, you would make your own songs, and you would perform them at a music composition showcase.
Whoa.
And here's the thing, like, my high school boyfriend, who I had a crush on for, like, 2 years before we started dating, because he was older than me and didn't want to be a huge creep, just, like, a medium creep, he played bass and had, like, super long hair, and I was, like, all about that, right? And so I would go to the showcase performances and be like, like, so dreamy. Look at him playing that cool 80s headless bass. Like, what a cool dude. Oh, but it would be like, there was my friend Brian, who we're not super close now, but he's still, like, really, really heavily involved in the, in, like, the heavy metal scene in Vancouver, so he's, like, really still got the long hair, still got the big vest, a lot of leather things and whatnot, and, you know, as you do when you're a metal vocalist. But I remember him doing a song called The Quest for the Chest. And they just let him
no.
sing the song about how much he wanted to touch boobs. This is in high school. Like, I'm on a quest for the chest. No, I want
D&D.
It. I think maybe that's how he sold it to the teacher, but I also think that the teacher didn't care.
Yeah.
And I do remember one girl, like, the first time I went, oh, I might be gay, or, like, not straight, was, like, a girl doing the song from the Pulp Fiction soundtrack. It's called If Love is a Red Dress, Then Hang Me in Rags. I don't know if you've heard it before, but mm-hmm. it's, like, a really good plaintive tune, and this mm-hmm. really gorgeous woman sang it when I was, like, trying to crush on this other guy, but I was like, huh, this is interesting to me. So it's like, I want to be her friend / girlfriend / wife / I want to go into outer space with her where no one can bother us. Like, trying to figure that sort of feeling out. Like, do I want to be her? Do I want to hang out with her and, like, mm-hmm. be her very special bathroom hand stuff friend?
We all have to have one of those, right?
Yeah, you have to have one of those. But that totally made me think of that, like, that sort of, like, being not good enough to participate in that kind of stuff, but just wanting to so bad and
yeah,
looking at it. And then,
periphery.
But if I really truly look back, because there is recordings of this, like, I had a CD of, like, the 2000 performance of, like, all of the music comp students. And I bet if I listened to it now, I'd be like, this is awful. Like,
yeah.
This is so bad. But I thought it was the best thing I'd ever heard. I'm like, these are the most talented people on earth. I wish I could be as cool as they
Aww.
Are. But I'm like, they were just as awkward as I was. Just, like, slightly older. And
yep.
so they looked cool.
Yep.
So, yeah, ND used to have a really, really good program. Don't know if they do anymore, but it was pretty amazing at the
wow.
time. Yeah.
That's our band class in Gibson's was really just, like, before school, so you'd get to school at 7 a.m. to do band practice.
Yeah, that's why I wasn't in band.
Yeah, and that was kind of it. And then, yeah, you'd play at the Remembrance Day Assembly.
Yeah.
And that was about, like, there was nothing really cool about band, but I thought it was so cool. Like, as a younger kid, I was like, I can't wait till I'm in, like, high school band, because they play, like, John Williams songs. Like, we'd play, like, the theme from Jurassic Park.
Yeah, that one.
I always wanted to, and then we finally did, and it was so cool. Like,
and you'd go on the road. That's the cool thing about band, is
yeah.
that you actually got to go on, like, tours and, like, you know,
yeah,
Disneyland and things. I don't know where you ended up, but
we went to Toronto.
Toronto, yeah.
And played at, like, competitions all
yeah.
over BC
That's
and
kind
stuff
of amazing.
Like that. And I was in choir as well, but, like, mm-hmm. in the Sunshine Coast, they also had, like, community orchestra and community choir that would do their own thing. So that was the community choir was all of the school districts together.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like all of the three major sort of towns on the Sunshine Coast would meet in the middle one and have choir. And that was really beautiful. And then the band, we had like a youth band, and then there was like the symphony.
Oh, wow.
which was very intergenerational. So I got to be in all of that stuff, and I thought that that was the epitome of cool. And again, like, those bands practice, like, first thing Saturday morning, so, like, I didn't go out on Friday night. I would stay home and watch Buffy and then go to orchestra.
Aww.
Like, it was a very sweet, wholesome existence, and it's, like, music really helped with that, whereas, like, a lot of people I knew in high school were driving around in trucks shooting guns and, like, huffing gas,
side of it.
Basically.
Yeah.
Oofed.
Lots of gas huffing.
Oofed.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
And, like, lots of pot because it's the Sunshine Coast, but it was, like, there was a lot of hard, gross shit going on and
yikes.
Lots of drinking and driving and lots of bush parties.
Yeah.
And
yikes.
I just never did that because I had my vampire LARPing, my...
you had everything you needed.
My one best friend and, like, a little group of people.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, lots of books and the internet and my friends that lived in Victoria that we would LARP together online and, like...
I've got a bit of a question, and it's just sort of, like, it's directed to both of you, and I'll also chime in with my own experiences. You've talked about, like, how you did kind of, like, weirdo stuff, but it was all very, like, sweet and wholesome, and, like, you know, like, the worst thing you ever did was, like, get a glass of wine or whatever, you know, like, it was pretty, pretty sweet, and I know that that was very much my own experience, too, that I, like,
besides stealing roaches from dad.
Yeah. Well, whatever. I mean, like, that was, nobody really noticed that part. Like, it was, and that was honestly very early in my adolescence, and I kind of, like, kicked into a bit of a goody two-shoes after that, because, like, when I was 12 or 13, I started going to church.
What? Huh?
Huh? Is this news to you? You didn't know about this?
Started going to church?
My parents are not religious. They're very agnostic / atheistic. And I mean, so am I now. But when I was 12, I had zero friends. I was very, very lonely. Well, I had one friend. And that was Bex. And Bex took me to church group, like youth group.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody has to be nice to you at church group, youth group. And I was like, this is great. Nobody's telling me to kill myself constantly. What an improvement. So that was, like, something that actually really made me, I don't want to say, like, a moral person, because I have my own moral compass and stuff, but it definitely kept me out of trouble until I was, like, 15 or 16.
Wow.
I want to say, like, I went to Bible camp with one of the chicks who's on Lost, that show Lost.
What?
Evangeline Lilly.
Oh,
she was,
gosh.
Like, the kitchen lady. She, like, oversaw the kitchen at the camp, and she was not nice, and I did not watch her show.
You heard it here first, folks.
She's a not nice lady. I don't know if she's nice now, but she was not nice when she was 20, so who is, but... No, I was very, like, well-behaved. I didn't, like, it's not like I never drank or never smoked pot as a teen. I just didn't do a lot of it. Like, I never got into trouble. My parents never had to worry about me. I had an 11:30 curfew, and if I wanted to stay out, I could just call them on a payphone because I didn't have a cell phone. Be like, I'm just having fun, and we're out in Surrey. Can I stay out till 12:30? And they'd be like, sure, you're a good kid. It's fine.
Wow.
So I just didn't get into trouble. And I don't know, like, what was your experience like with that? Were you a bad kid?
I was a really bad kid.
Oh, tell me about how you were a bad kid.
Well, I was an only child, so I think maybe that sort of magnified how bad I felt, because maybe I wasn't. But just, like, you know, when you're...
Nobody was there to take the heat off of you.
Exactly. I was the focus of attention. And I don't know. I was a bit of a rebel, I guess.
Ooh.
And, yeah, I got into drugs and all sorts of stuff. All sorts of bad stuff.
Sarah McLachlan.
Sarah McLachlan, I know, right?
She's gateway drug, Sarah McLachlan.
I think the big thing for me was that I wanted to be... I always wanted to be older than I was.
Mm-hmm.
I was so done with junior high school the minute I started it.
Oh, yeah.
So, my escape was to, like, date older guys, like guys in high school or sometimes even older, like who'd already graduated.
Gross.
It's just so gross. But, like, I would be like, oh, I'm going to go stay at my friend Laura's house this weekend. And I didn't mention that Laura lived with my boyfriend. And then, like, we're just hanging out the whole time. And, yeah, lots of drugs, lots of acid. Like, that was kind of my thing because, you know, it's the early
90s.
Acid. Just lots of acid.
It's my thing. It's just kind of my thing.
It was fine. And, you know, it didn't last that long. Like, mm-hmm. I got over it pretty quick, and then I was just like, okay, I'm done with this once I hit university. But I think I gave my mom a few gray hairs because she was worried about me. I remember one time when I was, and this was no fault of my own, but it's probably 14 or 15.
Was it maybe a little fault of your own?
I mean, no, not at all,
Okay, good.
So we were driving, so friends of mine, they came by Mortimer, so they picked me up, and we were going to go meet this Mortimer in Maple Ridge.
I'm sorry.
Oh,
Mortimer.
Mortimer.
I thought you were saying Mortimer.
Me too.
I'm like, is that like a word for nerd or something? It's like Poindexter?
Finish the story, and then maybe you can tell us about what modeming is.
Sure. So we arranged arranged to meet this person in Maple Ridge, and he gave us his address. And he had said, like, 124A, but we ended up going down 124B. You know how it is out there. And so we go down to the end of the block, and we go, oh, shoot, this is the wrong street. So we turn around. As we're coming back, there's this guy standing, like, big biker dude standing in the middle of the road with a shotgun.
Oh, my God.
So we slow down. We're like, what is going on? And he comes up to the driver, and he's like, quit calling. You can't have my dog. You're not taking the dog. And we're like, we don't know what you're doing. We were like 16, 15, you know, just like
a
bunch of nerds. And he's like, I know you've been calling, and you're not getting the dog. And, like, this guy was just, like, livid. And there was another guy on the street, too. And so we're like, oh, my God, we don't know anything about this. And so the guy with the shotgun takes the driver's glasses, like the guy who's driving.
My glasses!
My glasses! And crushes them.
What? Is so it like a now, grown-up bully from high school?
Pretty much. And so now he can't see. And he's like, he panics. So he like steps on the gas. And the guy behind us is shooting as we're driving away.
Fuck Maple Ridge. Can I just say that right now? It's so scary.
It was so, so freaky. So we went straight to the, like, to the cops because we're like, we don't know what to do.
A man tried to shoot us.
And, like, our driver can't drive anymore because he has no glasses. So we have to get our parents to come and pick us up.
Aww.
And my mom was so mad. Like, she was just so upset.
That she was
like,
mad.
Yeah, she was mad. Like, you know.
How could you get yourself into this
situation? Yeah, like, it's all my fault. And, like, and so from then I was, like, banned from driving with anybody. Like, I couldn't get into a car with any friends.
That's so weird.
That seems a bit extreme.
It was a bit extreme. So I totally broke
the rule. Fucking mom.
Yeah, and so. This is the best part. So she drove me out to the West End for a sleepover at some Modimer's house who was, like, way older than me, but it was a girl, so it was fine, me and my friend. And we, like, immediately, as soon as she dropped us off, we, like, got in a car and drove to the liquor store and got a bottle of peach schnapps, and we're drinking it, and I was so drunk. And I was just going to plan on drinking and then sleeping over, and the next morning she'd come and pick me up and it would be fine. But my mom, as soon as she got home, phoned the place, and the roommate was there. And he's like, oh, yeah, no, they just drove out. Like, he didn't say where. She's like, she got in the car with somebody? She's like, all right, I'm on my way. So she drove all the way back from Poco to the West End.
Oh, my God.
And showed up, and I was like, oh, my God. Like, when we got there, like, your mom's coming. I'm like, I am so wasted. So I'm, like, brushing my teeth. Like,
oh, my God.
Wait, this is fine. It's going to be fine. So, yeah, she came and picked us up with my friend's mom in the car this time. So she was like, we were both in so much trouble.
Oh, my God.
And I just remember being so drunk. And, like, when I'm drunk, I get really belligerent and combative. And I was just like, you don't trust me.
You don't trust me.
Yeah, exactly. And my friend was just like, shut up.
I know what I'm trying to tell you. You don't trust me. I don't do anything. I'm not supposed to. Why do you smell like a, I was going to say a slutty peach. That's not what I meant, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, pretty much a slutty peach. Yeah, we'll go with that.
Basically. Okay, so a Modimer.
All right, so I have, what do I have here? I have this book.
Okay.
Like, all sorts of important information, like...
Is that a chaos star on the front page there?
Yeah, you know, because, it's coming apart.
It says chaos. It's okay, chaos. See, that was my high school boyfriend was obsessed with chaos stars. He wore a necklace with that.
Around. I had a
so, like,
jacket with
you
that
guys
on it.
Probably, like, were internet friends at some point.
Here, we'll take that off. And so these are just, like, things...
It's like a zine.
Yeah,
like the Church of... that's Bob Sub-Genius. From the Sub-Genius Church.
Yeah. All sorts of important things, like passwords and like, how to get onto certain websites and things.
Oh,
but
my God.
Before this, before the internet, before we could, like, connect via the internet, mm-hmm. we had to connect via telephone lines. So everybody would have a modem, and you dial into, like, the central chat system, BBS or D-Dial or whatever, and you could have, like, maybe up to 10 people on at the same time. It's like a party line, but mm-hmm. all through typing. So almost everybody I met from, like, age 14 to, like, 17 was online through mm-hmm. this. It was not really online, but it was, yeah. like, through this, like, little central hub. But because it was all localized, you could, like, meet up anytime. So we'd have, like, these regular meetups where we'd all meet, oh, you're Hexlin, oh, you're so-and-so. And that's how I met Laura.
So purely early
so there's,
nerd.
There's
like, I love
Laura,
that.
Laura, as you know.
Is that our friend?
That's our friend Laura. So that's how we met. And then that was my boyfriend at the time.
She has, like, face paint on?
I don't know what she's doing. I think it's just her hair.
Okay, it looked like a sort of Ziggy Stardust lightning.
Oh, yeah. That's so cool. She has, like, an oversized man's blazer on and just, like, so much hair in her face. And like,
she's
going to
be so mad that I showed you this picture.
Well, we won't post this one.
No. Yeah. She looks,
but it's amazing.
She looks hot, Laura. You look hot.
She's so sweet. Laura. Anyway, so these are the people I met, and this is, like, this became, like, my social community.
All those people, they would refer to themselves as Modimers.
Modimers at the time, yeah.
Or
sure.
Mortimers.
Mortimers, we could go with that too. But yeah, that was like a lot of my youth was staying up really, really late and just chatting with boys online all
night. That's basically
night.
Mine too, but it was a lot easier then because by then we had ICQ.
Yeah, exactly, right? Oh. Yeah, we didn't have ICQ.
Oh my god, cute ponytail boy is talking to me. Tick-a-tack-tack-tack-tack, more Foley. That's me typing.
We definitely, like, when I was in high school, we still were on dial-up, and so it was very much a, like, I had to wait till my mom went to bed so that the phone wouldn't ring or that she didn't need to use the phone.
Yeah,
because right? Mom
picks
up the
phone, and all of a sudden it's like,
Mom!
Yeah, but yeah, all you would hear was the modem noise or whatever.
Chong, chong, chong.
Yeah, and my mom and I had to come to an agreement of just like, she goes to bed pretty early anyway, so then I could chat after that. But it was like before 8 o'clock or whatever, it was just like, you can't use the modem because we need to keep the phone line open in case of an emergency.
In case of emergency.
Because these days.
Because I'd just be on it for hours.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes.
And,
absolutely.
Like, late into the night. And, yeah.
I was a big, we got an internet connection in 1996, basically. Like, we got a dial-up connection. And then, like, within a year or two, because my parents worked for the phone company, so we had, early adopter technology.
Yeah, I didn't get mine until 1999 or 2000.
We had either a DSL or a T1 line. I can't remember exactly what it was, but it was like a tech testing thing. And it was T1. So fast. Like, it would be not fast now, but it would be faster than dial-up.
Yeah.
It was quite a bit faster than dial-up. Like, I could use Napster and get a song in, like, 5 minutes instead. Yeah. So we had, like, pretty advanced stuff, and that was really exciting for me. But I definitely remember my parents being like, you're on that way too much. Mm-hmm. It is super unhealthy for you. And it might have been, like, 3 or 4 hours a day, which is a lot, but it's not that much. Because I'm on the internet way more than that now.
Yeah.
So were they, if we're being fair here. My dad, Facebooks and Twitters more than anybody else I know, pretty much.
That's awesome.
Yeah, he's great. We love John. But I can remember, like, because we had the big old box, like the huge CRT monitor, like the big case, and it was in a computer room, right? Like, you don't have it in your own private space. It's in, like, a loft where everybody can see you from the back, and, like, you better not be looking at pornography or whatever.
Well, I had my computer in my room, which
was
really
nice.
That's
pretty cool, because mine was very much in a central location. Yeah.
So I would often stay up, like, all night until the next morning, and then I'd make plans, and my friends would come pick me up for breakfast, and we'd go to White Spot for breakfast, and then I would go to high school for the day, having not slept at all the night before. But it was totally fine because you were
so
young.
So cute.
And you can just do that, right?
Can't even imagine. We're, like, thinking about adult chaperones at drag ride, like, 5 a.m. with teenagers. Never.
Never.
Couldn't do it. Yeah, no, I could not stay up that late now. I would literally die, I think. I would feel like military torture if I had to stay up that late. But
no, thanks.
I don't know if the internet was still that interesting to me.
Well, that's the thing.
Which
is
at the time
it totally was, right?
Like,
was
fan
amazing.
Fiction? Are you kidding me? Like, all this stuff that's so accessible now? Holy crap.
Yeah.
I can look up, like, a really cool Red Hot Chili Peppers fan page anytime I want. What are the lyrics to Suck My Kiss?
I saw the Red Hot Chili Peppers in 1991, and I was so excited. Oh, it was so exciting. It was at the Peony Coliseum.
You would have been, what, 16, 15?
15. And I was, like, right up front for
the
opening
band. Oh, yeah.
And then a mosh pit started. And I, because I'm very petite, all of a sudden, like, I was like, I am going to get trampled and suffocated. So, like, a big, beefy security guard dude reached over the barrier, picked me up and pulled me out and said, you're not going back in there.
I have an almost identical story to that, actually.
Oh, really?
And it was, I don't know if I talked about this on the podcast before, because I feel like I remember saying, like, sorry, Mom and Dad, that I lied to you about this thing.
Oh.
But I might have just talked to them about it, because I told them that I was going to Somersault, which was in 2000, so I was 15, and it was, like, this big Canadian music fest, like, after Edgefest kind of stopped being a thing. They tried to bring this in for 1 year, and it just didn't take off, and I went by myself, and I went to, like, meet people that I knew from the internet that were probably a lot older than me, and stuff, like, stuff you're not supposed to do.
Nope.
I'm like, I'm going with my friends, I'm going with these friends or whatever, but I went totally by myself, And during, because I was a huge Foo Fighters fan at the time. Like, I had my, like, the Color in the Shape. No, it's the one that comes after Color in the Shape. Came with, like, an F Foo Fighters fake tattoo. And I, like, just put it on my chest or something. Like, I just stuck it on my chest and was, like, wearing my guitar pick necklace and my, like, big cargo pants, whatever. Like, I'm so cool. So I went to this thing by myself. And during the Foo Fighters, I'm, like, up to the stage, like 2 feet from the front, and like a huge mosh pit breaks out, and then it did that thing, you know, when a crowd like surges forward and then back, and then a big space opens up, and then it's immediately converging again. When it moved back, I fell. Like, I fell down on the ground, and then everything just surged over top of me. So I was like underneath a shitload of people.
You were trampled.
Oh yeah. And it sucks. But I mean, I'm not petite, so that wasn't as big of a deal for me, because I'm built like a brick shit house. So I was fine. It was very frightening.
Oh yeah.
And this guy, who is like this most hippie looking man I've ever seen in my life, he had these big bug eyes and just a huge like tie-dyed shirt and long stringy hair. He like, I have to help her, and like pulled people off of me and like helped me get up and pushed me over the barricade.
Wow.
And I like turned back and looked him in the eyes and was like,
my hair,
you know, like reaching out, like, Jesus. and then like a few months later, I ran into the same guy at the rock shop on Granville. I'm like, you saved my life.
Wow.
So I totally had like a cool experience with that, but then I was like, well, not gonna do that again. Not gonna go to a concert by myself at age 15 and. It's not worth it for Trouble Charger and Sum 41 and the Deftones. Our Lady Peace. Just listing the whole group.
every Canadian band was at the thing, because there's only so many. They can all just fill a fest lineup together.
Yeah, there's only so many.
What is that little piece of paper that you have,
Aaron?
No, this is 1993. I think every year I kind of did like a summation of my life thus far.
Oh,
I don't know
why. Nice.
I wasn't a journaler. I didn't really keep journals or anything like that. But for some reason, I have a whole series of these where I was like, just like a note to my future self. What I'm into now, you know, who I think I am, where I think I'm going. And I did, like, this, like, site map.
You're
going
to cry?
I might cry. I'm reading it. It's so sweet.
It's really dorky.
I love it. I like how you have political, and then coming off of that, you've just written
Marx?
Question mark?
Do
Marx?
I even understand who Marx
das
is?
Das Kapital?
Can I read the first tiny little bit? It's just, like, it's a thing that, it's a sentiment. So this is 93, so how old were you?
16. This would have been just before grade 12. Yeah. So.
And
16.
So, like, I relate to this even now, and like, I'm sure that where it's just like, well, it's certainly been a long time, and change, the only constant phenomenon, has taken its toll on my life. I'd like to think everything has changed, but I know that I'm still the same person inside. I suppose it is my outer character and social environment that has changed so drastically. How insightful.
That's very insightful.
True dat.
True dat.
Dude. Yeah. I think it's so sweet. And so then she just maps out a bunch of stuff that she's interested in. And
You got modeming in there,
yeah,
and all the cool people that you know from modeming.
Yep.
Acting group. Ooh, Riot Girls. I like it. Very fun. Literature. Magic books with a K. We got Psychonaut, yeah, Aleister Crowley, very cool. Oh, that's cool. You got your favorite literature novels. You got Neuromancer, some William Gibson there. 1984, the Hitchhiker series. This is like so perfectly.
Yeah.
This is like the best time capsule I've ever seen.
This is really cool.
I'm
happy
so glad
you
brought this.
And I have no idea why I kept, like, it's weird when I go through my, I have a tiny little box of things that I've kept that for whatever reason were important to me.
Okay, so you remember earlier when I was like, I dated an industrial DJ? He's still a very good friend.
Sure.
He definitely had a tattoo that said Ex Nihilo.
Oh, wow.
Nihilo Feet.
And this was like my band that I wanted to put together.
Yeah, he has a tattoo on his back that says that on it, pretty much.
Whoa.
This is amazing. Like, the overlap is so great. And I like communism for economic stability, personal government for all other matters. This is all great. Like, I love your printing. No, this is like... This is, like, the most sort of self-aware teenage thing I've seen in a really long time. You're like, I know I might be a little bit bashful about this later, but I'm going to put it down anyway because it feels important.
Yeah,
I think that's
And
really
I don't
wonderful.
Think that that's at all, like, up your own ass. Like, I think it's really... You have to do something. Like, you have to write. You have to, like, remind yourself of what you were at a certain time, because otherwise you won't see how far you've come.
Mm-hmm. For sure. And I think
that's
I wanted
so
to impress my future self. Like, these are the things
impressed by that.
That I'm like, I think you're gonna like that I actually appreciate. I'm sure there were all sorts of other things going on that I did not put on here.
No, it's great. Like, 93 is sort of one of the years, like, that I have, like, most of my memories from, like, because I was 7 or 8 by then. So it's like, the stuff that happened in 93, like, that you're bringing up here is like, oh, okay, I kind of remember the stuff. I'm making myself sound like I'm a baby, but I don't really have a lot of memories from before that. So it's like, that was a good year for music.
It was a really good year.
Good year for The Simpsons. Good year for all that stuff that I really liked.
Absolutely.
Totally.
Good year for The Simpsons.
It's like, that's all I cared about at the time. So
I found some old journals, and I think that they were from high school or maybe like first year. And it was just really sappy about people I liked, you know, like crushes.
I got plenty of those, too. I think I burned most of that.
I definitely burned a lot of it, and I'm kind of like, it's fine that I don't have them anymore, because I definitely still remember those feelings, but don't need to revisit it in such crushing detail.
Yeah.
And I remember reading them and just feeling, like, sick to my stomach reading that. Like, I felt that way about this person who has, like, wasted so much of my time.
Yeah.
I wasted so much of my time thinking about this or whatever. But like,
we all went through that.
Yeah, I know.
There's
I guess it shaped us to who we are. But like, I don't feel like I need to remember it in that crystal clear detail in my own writing.
I only have my childhood website to like use as a reference here. I didn't bring any journals.
I love that you have a website.
But I did art.
Wow.
That's a drawing of Davey Havoc from AFI. An eye, because it's just like, I'll draw an eye. It's fine. Another
sweet.
Eye, an eye of Horus.
Yeah,
there's probably a poem going around. I think it's like lyrics to a Nine Inch Nails song, if I'm not mistaken.
Right.
And if you really zoom in, there's like, oh,
well,
no,
there's
a person
in there.
They look
they're
tortured.
Trapped.
They're
oh,
so trapped. What does it say? All-seeing, all-knowing, all-encompassing, watching, always watching, never trust the ramblings of a psychopath. I know. I watched as you fell. And I laughed. You are worthless, expendable. I don't need you. Oh, my God. I was dark. Where are you going? Come back. Please don't leave me alone with myself. Holy shit.
Wow.
I didn't actually act like that. I wasn't really dark, but I wanted to be dark.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, I'm a sweetie. And I always have been. And so, like, no matter how hardcore I've ever tried to be, like, oh, we got, like, anime angel
beautiful.
Protecting the earth and, like, a lotus flower for the pussy.
Well,
sorry.
Wait, don't you have a...
You don't have a lotus flower there? Like, Ex Machina or whatever that was from, probably, like, Ghost in the Shell. There's David Bowie.
Oh, that's
gorgeous. Not
a
very good drawing, but...
These are great.
This is, like, the first thing I ever colored in Photoshop.
Yee.
And then, see, like, I was obsessed with David Bowie from the start.
I can see that.
Oh, so our last episode...
He's gangsta in that one.
Yeah, our last episode was, like, all me crying about David Bowie, so... Good times. Good fun.
Yeah. I feel you on the, like, wanting to be dark, but not, where it was, like, I'm also, like, an only child living in a small town.
Yeah.
I've got it really good. You know, I had some, like, darkness in my family a little bit, just with, like, family drama and addiction issues and that kind of stuff,
mm-hmm.
but, like... Where I was living at the time, I just felt really, really dark in grade 9. We moved to a new house that I didn't really like very much, and I was just, like, really sad, and I would go out into the woods and listen to Apocalyptica and just, like, stomp around. And it's like, I read a thing lately that was just about...
Katie's losing her
Please
mind
Please, go
over
ahead.
Here.
I'll follow up later.
I read a thing about, like, teenage girls' brains and, like, teenagers' brains in general where it's just, like, the emotions get really heightened and because your frontal cortex hasn't developed properly, you can't really process those feelings as much.
Yeah.
So it's, like, I think that you just have to have, like, an outlet to get that kind of dark
Absolutely.
Feelings out and learn how to manage that. And even though, like, yeah, I definitely had it really good, but I'm, like, I'm still mad and angry and I don't know why. So then I got into the vampire stuff and, like, witch stuff to kind of... Channel that,
yep,
I think.
For sure.
Was that similar to what you were?
Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, I don't know where it came from. It's kind of weird, because, like, I didn't really have anyone who was influencing me, but it was probably a particular band. I probably saw something on Much Music, and I was like, whatever that is, that Robert Smith, I'm going to be like him.
Yeah.
Shakespeare's sister, oh my God, I'm, like, so into that.
show me how you do that trick, Robert Smith. What do you think, guys? Should we take a short break?
Yeah, what did you just go?
Oh,
maybe we
well,
should
I
wait.
Will get back into
oh,
that
okay.
when we come back. I got to pee
stay
right
tuned.
Now.
Okay.
It's bad, but it's great bad.
Okay.
So, okay.
We'll be right back. So we're back. We took a little break. We've turned off the lights and made it a little
like
bit more.
I like this ambiance. It's good.
I honestly, this is, I feel like I can just be, expose myself even more.
Did I read from the book?
So we're going to sort of have a seance, and Katie's got some teen poetry to read.
I was going to.
Oh, that's why you've got teen poetry.
Yeah, that was why my face looked so insane for
like,
a part of the,
because
I've just found it, because I did not look at the website before I came here today, except for, like, to look at my photos. I'm like, ha, so funny. I did not realize that I still had teenage writing on there. So I have, like, high school writing assignments that I've uploaded. And like photos from like the first time I went to Pride and all this kind of stuff. It's just so.
Yeah.
Okay, so this one,
so
I'm gonna.
We were gonna say that Katie's gonna read this poetry.
I'm not gonna read it before I read it.
Yeah, so she's
wow,
just looking
cool
at it.
Reading.
Yeah, we're gonna see what happens. And she said she picked the one with the best, worst
yeah,
title.
Yeah, and it doesn't have a title. It just says, okay, so I had these three options. One was a series I did for school. That's not descriptive. Who cares? The next one is called Red Light. And then I wrote something that just says, bizarre foray into rhyming, comma, kinda sexual.
Okay, that's the one.
That's the one. So it's probably going to be me taking myself entirely too seriously. And again, a lot of this had to do with the fact that I was dating somebody who took themselves very, very seriously. Mm-hmm. And I just kind of got on board with that. So that's what we're doing. Okay, are we ready for this?
So ready.
Candles burn deep through darkness, bringing forth flame, ethereal light. Away from the buzz of fluorescent lamps, creates new dimensions to a once plain sight. A still form lies, draped in red velvet. The fires glow dancing across her porcelain face. Of course it's fucking porcelain. What else is it going to be? Alabaster? She sleeps, a smile playing on her lips, breathing in a beautiful rhythm, inhaling grace. Candle wax drips down, slow and languid, a sensual spill. So hot as it pools onto her soft white skin, she stirs.
Oh yeah, I used to play with candle wax.
The liquid
all the time.
Now solid, it cracks as it cools. Finally awake, aware of the sweet torture, she draws a quick breath in shock and surprise, a realization that melts into pleasure, and nothing but love can be read in her eyes.
Ooh.
Oh, I was a real horny goth.
Oh, just the little forays into like baby BDSM, a little
yeah,
hot wax.
Like,
oh my god!
I used to definitely like dip, like pour hot wax on me and like dip my fingers into hot wax.
Oh
all the
god!
Time,
and,
it was, and like,
just like listening to fucking Nine Inch Nails all the time, like slave screams. I'm Trent Reznor. Put stuff in my butt.
That's a real lyric, guys.
That's a real lyric. I write all of the lyrics for Nine Inch Nails socks.
That explains a lot.
I have found you can find happiness in putting stuff in your butt.
Jesus.
So,
incredible.
God, I'm sweating. Like, I don't know if I'm turned on or just horrified. Call A, Column B. Anyway, please.
I love how, like, when we were that young, we didn't really... I mean, we were experiencing sex, but we had...
We thought we invented it, though.
We had this like, grand vision of what it was and what it could be and what desire was.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, we totally missed the mark completely. Because it was something that was so taboo, like, up to a certain point, like, you weren't even...
It was the most exciting thing you could possibly even think about, let alone do.
And yet, you were not permitted to do so.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I did it a bunch. Once I was 17, I was just, like, going crazy.
Yeah,
like,
me too.
But just one person.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
I was
and
a
me
very,
too, yeah.
Very, like, controlled weirdo.
Yeah. Yeah, I was very monogamous once I found the one. I was like, okay, that's it. Just you and me.
Hump you for however many years this is going to go on for.
Then
and then just
on to the next one.
This is Tarzan, swing away. On to the next.
Yeah. I don't know. I dated somebody for a bit in grade 8.
Grade 8?
Yeah. And he was in grade 7, so we were in, like, different schools. But we were in choir together. Mrs. Robinson.
Wow.
Just working out, trying to be a cougar. I know I'm going to be a cougar later on in life, so I was just starting to practice. But we would, like, French kiss, and that was it. And then in grade 10... Like, I saw someone for, like, 3 weeks while he was on a break from his girlfriend, and then they got back together. And then after that, I didn't date anybody. I had, like, some steamy, like, smooches with the fellow at raves and lots of cuddle parties and stuff like
raves.
That. But other than that, nothing until university.
Wow.
So, yeah.
But you went to university pretty young.
I was 17,
yeah.
So.
That's a good age to do sex, honestly.
Yeah.
That's it for me.
But, like, and I was very much in control of it where I was, like, I'm at college, I'm living on my own, I'm going to, like... There was a friend of mine that was also going to the same school, so I, like, approached him with, like, a business plan, basically. Like, I would like to lose my virginity. It's going to be...
And you're the one I've selected.
Yeah, because...
here are my terms and conditions.
Yeah, basically. I made a really good mix CD. We, like...
Oh, I love it!
That was beautiful.
Yeah. But it was just, like, it was so perfunctory. That's, like, I didn't
really
have
a
lot of, like...
You're so practical about this. Like, you know what you want.
That's very
Capricorn. You've got it all... Right. And Katie, what are you?
I'm a Pisces.
You're a Pisces.
So I'm very romantical.
Aww.
Yeah, it was like... I actually, there's a bit of a funny background to this story, because I can tell you the exact date I lost my virginity.
Mm-hmm.
It was January 26th of 2002. And that was, yeah, I'd been with my high school boyfriend for, like, 7 months at the time. And we were very much, like, yeah, we rounded the bases at a very, like, orderly fashion. Mm-hmm. And we're, but, like, he was really patient with me and that kind of stuff. And so it was, like, my parents knew that I would eventually have sex with this person. They were very aware of it. And I've talked about this with them recently. And they, my mom thought that I brought it up to them. But it was actually my dad who was like, okay, so I had a kid when I was 18, is my dad's thought. And, well, I mean, he didn't. His, yeah, at the time, wife did. But he's like, I don't want that to happen to you. So you're going to go talk to the doctor about getting on birth control and you're going to get on the birth control pill. I'm like, okay, cool. And so it was like a tacit acceptance that I would eventually do that. And they wanted me to be taken care of in that respect so that I wouldn't have to be like, you know, deal with abortion or adoption or whatever. Like, so I wouldn't get pregnant basically. And that made me feel weird. But it was also, like, I felt super loved at the same time, where it was, like, they're acknowledging the fact that I'm getting older, that I'm, like, distancing myself from them as an individual, and they're kind of okay with that, and that was really nice. But my dad was hands-off about it. He just, like, directed that. And then my mom, who's very nosy, she wanted to know, like, what I was getting up to and stuff, and so she would ask me questions, and she still kind of does that sometimes, but not about my sex life, but, you know, she just wants to know what's happening.
Yeah.
And so I remember her being really, like, wanting to know when it had happened. So she was, like, trying to predict when it was going to, because she thought I would tell her immediately. So she was like, is it going to... She did the same thing when I was going to get my period. Like, for, like, 2 years, she's like, it's going to happen. It's going to happen.
It's like she's casting, like, lunar cycle astrology.
And that was... And the period thing was really funny, because I hated it when she would say, you're going to get your period soon, and be like, fuck you, Mom. How am I going to just not get it to spite you? So I didn't get it until I was almost 14, because I was just like, just holding on to it or something.
Can you do that?
No! No, but I'd like to believe that it was pure contempt that kept me from, like, hitting that milestone early. Anyway, so what actually happened when we had sex is my dad was, like, on a business trip, and my mom was like, oh, I'm going to go to so-and-so's house for dinner tonight. It's really snowy, though, so I'm going to, like, call you before I get home. I'm like, good, I'll know when she's coming back. She's going to be out for a while. So I'm like, hey, baby, come over. And it's like, okay, we're going to have sex tonight. And he was like, yes. So we just had sex in my bed, and it was very nice. Like, it didn't hurt. It was nice. It was very pleasant, very pleasurable, a lot of fun. And then we made pasta after and ate it. And that was what happened. And then the next week, my mom was like, so we're going away this weekend. Are you going to have sex for the first time this weekend? Like, because I feel like it's going to happen. I'm like, I hate to tell you this, but it already happened. Last week. We were at, like, Dennis's house or whatever. And she's like, how? How did I not see the change in you? I'm like, because nothing changed.
In you.
Nothing
it's
changed.
It's not, virginity isn't a thing, Mom.
No, it was like a wiener had already touched a bunch of times, went to a different place, and that was all that changed. But it was like, I had a very, very nice experience with that. So, like, I'm really grateful to my parents for never being weird about sex. Now I don't have a lot of hang-ups about it, which is really
That's
great.
Fantastic.
It's all you can ask for.
My mom, when she was working, she was an obstetrics nursing instructor.
Oh, wow.
So all my life I grew up with, you know, diagrams of penises and vaginas all over the dining room table as she was, like, marking students' homework and stuff. So she was, like, super into explaining from a very, very young age what the mechanics of sex were, the biological purpose, everything, like, to the point where I was like, I am closing my ears, la la la, I'm not hearing any
Just
of this.
Leave me a copy of It's Perfectly Normal and get out.
I don't want to know anything about this. So, yeah. But yeah, it was like for me too. Like I was 16, 17-ish, and I had been with my boyfriend for almost a year before we had had sex, and he was very patient and very, you know, very sweet about it. And it was just, it wasn't a big deal. Like after it was done, I was like, okay, I guess
I'm just very happy that I don't feel like I don't want to say wasted it, but it was like, it was just nice. Like it was just nice. Yeah, and it's like, so nice to start off nice.
Yeah.
Instead of like, oh, I want to take 5 showers and never do that again kind of situation, which doesn't, I've had that experience later, but at least it wasn't the first time.
The first
time,
one
right?
was a positive experience.
First time was like, okay, this is like a baseline.
Yeah.
And it's always like respectful and nice. And anytime it's not, if in later life I was like, well, fuck this, because I don't deserve to be treated this way.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's good.
So if somebody foundation. Who, like, now hates me could be so nice and tender with me, then, you know, must be some good there.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah. Yeah. I like it. I went on the pill when I started seeing this guy very briefly in high school, and it was just like, okay, he wants to hook up. He was older. Mm-hmm. And, like, I didn't realize that he was on the rebound and was going to get back together with his girlfriend, I guess.
No.
And he was just like, yeah, I want to fool around and blah, blah, blah. Mm. And I thought, oh, this is so fun, but I'm going to be responsible. And my mom's also a nurse, right? So it was like, okay, I'm going to go to the options, like Planned Parenthood. I'm going to get on the pill. So I told him, I'm like, hey, like, so I'm going on the pill and it'll take like a month to kind of work and get ready. And he like did not want to wait at all.
Oh,
like,
no.
Not very patient.
To be over. Yeah. I want to put it in you right now.
Just a lot of 90s songs.
Yeah. But so, but that really bugged me because like.
Yeah, that's really horrible.
Yeah. So like we definitely like made out and like fooled around and all kinds of stuff. But then it's like he was always being very pressury. And then I was just like, okay, I don't really like this. And then, yeah, then he broke up with me and went back together with his other girlfriend. And I was just like, cool, that actually works for me just fine.
I like that you liked yourself enough at that age to be like, I don't need this shit.
Yeah. Well, that's great. If it's the same as now. It's like if someone doesn't hear my...
No,
or like my opinions or whatever, then I'm just like, I'm going to double down and like be extra stubborn. Yeah. So anyway, that's good stuff. Yeah. It's, it seems like we all had, again, like parents that not only enabled our like creative forays into like costume stuff and LARPing and nerdy shit.
But they cared enough, like that they were worried about us and stuff.
Yeah, you know? But then but also like respected that we were like becoming more autonomous and becoming
more
grown up.
That was weird.
That was a bit of
But I mean, you did have a gun pointed at you,
and
so
that
we
was
can
the
forgive
thing.
Your mom a bit for that. That's usually not a thing that happens in Canada.
Yeah, and she relaxed on it after a little while. Mm-hmm. She's like, all right, I guess I can't stop you from doing anything.
So. But no guns.
No guns.
Don't
Next
go anywhere
time you
there's
see
guns.
A gun.
Yeah.
Run away.
Run away from the gun.
So what is this witch book that you
have?
Oh,
my God, this is so funny. This is like I mentioned, I was like really into witchcraft and, you know, just... I'm a Scorpio, so I'm, like, really into, like, the dark arts and, like, secret knowledge and stuff.
I have
stuff.
A Scorpio rising, so I'm...
Oh, there you go.
Sensual goth is the technical term, I believe.
Yep.
And I honestly, I have not picked up this book since high school. I saw it on my bookshelf and went, I still have this? And I put it on my bookshelf for other people to see. And it's just, it tells you about the tools that you need, jewelry... like, the coven.
Lots of silver.
So, like, how to set up an altar, how to find your people to, like, make a...
Yeah, so...
What does it say for what kind of jewelry should you be wearing?
Well, silver is the metal of the goddess and the moon.
Okay.
And gold is the metal of the horned god and the sun. Mm-hmm. So you have to decide, you know, where are you aligned? What kind of power are you trying to...
What about copper?
Oh, I don't know how copper's in here. Oh, my gosh. About the coven. The coven consists of 13 or fewer members whose harmonies work well together.
Hmm. Can we be a coven? Can we be a temporary coven?
We're a temporary coven.
Yes. Podcast coven.
I call the circle to order.
All right, cool.
The group is guided solely by perfect love and perfect trust.
Oh, there are that no from the craft.
This might be the script for the craft.
It might just
I don't
be the
know.
Script.
I might be reading the wrong book. There are no rules, obligations, bylaws, or guidelines other than this. The end.
And at harm none, do as ye will.
That's right.
So yeah, that's nice. I had lots of books like these too, and I still have a few that were just like, I got really into like botanical magic growing up in the woods.
Oh,
I'd be like,
of course.
I'm going to go through and like gather cedar boughs and gather mushrooms and gather things and like make tinctures and tonics
and did all that too.
Herbal stuff. I really love that.
What was the name of the person, the woman who did like teen witch books? She had like a really funny name. I'm going to look her up. Like Raven Way or something like that. Ebony Darkness Dementia Raven Way. I believe is the fake protagonist or of the Harry Potter fan fiction My Immortal, which we've talked about a couple times before on the podcast because it's just like the best thing. Somebody wrote like 120,000 page shitty fan fiction that made Hogwarts a goth AU alternate universe.
Wow,
this is how you clean your house.
Oh yeah, also
as a witch.
Yeah.
How do you do it?
Just how? Yeah, get negative energy out. Yep. Get bad vibes out.
I should do that.
Just get it out. Okay, the author's name is Silver Ravenwolf, so I was very
you were
close.
Very close.
The Teen Witch, Wicca for a New Generation. Oh, that's a good name. Silver Ravenwolf.
Ooh, here we go. Suggested procedure for repelling a psychic attack.
Oh, this is important.
This feels like a D&D manual.
Magic missile.
When composing the appropriate words of power, it's important to be specific as possible. Your arrow has to hit the target. Your emotional atmosphere should be as calm as possible. No anger. Instead, use calm clarity. This is actually pretty good for just managing your emotions as a teenager.
And I think that's what a lot of it was for
Honestly,
me.
Yeah,
I was
going to ask you guys, like, what do you think? Because we were all like witchy kids and gothy kids. Like, what is it about that drew us?
But listen to this. So it's like, concentrate on the words of power work, not on the person that sent the attack to you. Don't fear. Be confident in your deities and your relationship to them. Like, that mm-hmm. sounds like building self-confidence and self-mastery more than anything.
And I think a lot of it is about, yeah, mm-hmm. having personal power. When you're a teenager, especially mm-hmm. being a girl, you have yeah. no power. You have no control.
I think that's the crux of it, though, Erin. Yeah. Like, I really do, because I felt very... I was not a popular kid. Like I said, I was a total, like, loner loser till I was probably, mm-hmm. like, 14 or 15. Like, you could see the progression in those mm-hmm. photos, right? Where I went from sullen little shit to, like, hey, it's me, Katie, it's fun times, got red hair now, lip piercing, me, wearing a McDonald's work shirt, don't work there, no big deal, teen punk all-star. So I feel like before that, like, I used to just take out witch books from the library exclusively. Like, I want to know stuff about witchcraft. I want to, like, why did witches scare people so much in sure. history? Like, yep. what was it about them? It's, like, the unknown. It's, like, the, like, woman's power had to come from something other than, like, the established power structure. So it was mystical and mm-hmm. weird because it wasn't the world that men understood. Mm-hmm. I don't want to get too much into, like, making it about gender because, like, anybody can be a witch. But I think growing up a teen girl, I think you really hit the nail mm-hmm. on the head. It's like that we feel very powerless. Mm-hmm. And the idea that we could harness, like, the earth's energies and just fuck up shit, like, yep. and yeah. just, like, or just strengthen ourselves and, yeah. like, have yeah. some, like, spiritual protection or whatever.
I remember so much of, like, any, like, rituals that you would see. It's like, oh, let's cast a love spell or let's cast a beauty spell, where it would literally, like, the beauty spell would
glamour.
Be, like,
a
beauty spell.
No, like, and I would have a book like this, and literally it would be, like, look in the mirror and tell yourself, I'm beautiful, and I'm like, oh, it's affirmations.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, but it's just disguised in sort of, or it's, like, got the language of, like, I'm casting a spell
like,
right now.
It's a little bit yeah. mystical. Yeah. It's, like, yeah. something else that, like, oh, I'm calling this other power. Instead, it's just the powers within you all along.
But, like, even in your Earth Magic book, I was just looking through, there's a few more, like, how to do, like, guided meditations and, like, grounding mm-hmm. exercises. All that yeah. kind of stuff is stuff that we do now. It's like when I'm anxious, I'll do breathing and
it's like
whatever,
cognitive behavioral therapy in
yeah,
a lot of ways.
Pretty much, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But
you'll see, in my yearbook.
Well, what do you got in your yearbook there? We haven't cracked this yet.
Oh, yeah.
Let's see what I said in my yearbook.
Oh, mine is, my yearbook quote is so pretentious. It's so, but I was aware of, like, oh, this is going to be embarrassing later kind of thing. So I tried to make it less so, but it still was really bad. What do you
what
got?
Is yours?
Mine says, the last 3 years at Perks were satisfactory.
That's it? Oh, no.
My favorite classes were science and gifted. There was a gifted class. That's so dorky. I will be remembered for my ever-changing hair color. I'll remember Stacey and Danielle. I hope to become a psychologist or an artist.
Do you still talk to Stacey and Danielle?
No.
Oh, fuck Stacey and Danielle.
I'm still friends with them on Facebook, but, like, they're doing their own thing. Yeah. They are way more goth and extreme than I am now,
really?
Which is, like, amazing.
That's
so,
kind of fun.
Yeah.
What were their names again? Stacey and Danielle?
Yep.
Also, like, Stacey's the most 90s name that you could possibly
absolutely.
Have.
Absolutely. Everybody had a friend named Stacey
if
in
you
the
had,
90s.
If you had a name that was in the Babysitter's Club, like, that's
yeah.
as 90s as it gets.
I
want a friend
was
named Claudia.
Oh, my God. I had a Babysitter's Club when I was in grade 7, I
really?
Think. A friend of mine, like, started this club, and then a bunch of us joined, and she was, like, the ringleader, and so, like, the parents would call her and say, okay, Erin's available on
Is that
Saturday
Christy?
Evening.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
Cool.
Yeah, I read all of them.
That's adorable.
Oh, man. Aww. Well, that, I don't know. That's some deeper shit that kind of got into in terms of, like, it kind of helps me understand a little bit of why I was really drawn to that. Like, talking about channeling your dark emotions
sure.
into a thing, having, like, structured rituals that you can really, like,
yeah.
I don't know, anchor yourself onto, I guess. And mm-hmm. then especially when you're going through a tumultuous time in your life. So it doesn't necessarily have to be when you're a teenager, but maybe you're going through a really difficult period of change. And it's kind of
yeah.
no wonder that we're drawn to more... spiritual or something mm-hmm. outside of ourselves to kind of work through.
Oh, absolutely. Like, December was horrible for me. Like, I had a really terrible, terrible December. It was very, very stressful. And I, like, really ended up doing, like, a lot of Google searches for, like, can I get a spell for, like, this particular problem that's in my life? And even if it's not going to fix it, it makes me feel like I'm doing something in a situation where I'm helpless.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then, but the thing is, like, everything that I did spells for in December came true. Like, all of it truly did. I, like, looked
wow.
up these things and was like, well, if I just believe in it, maybe it'll happen. Like, mm-hmm. yeah. And so all of those things that I did, I made little mini altars and, like, just said words over it and was like, okay, let's blow out that candle, like, send the smoke in the direction of the person I'm thinking about or whatever, which is, like, I don't necessarily believe any of those things actually mm-hmm. works, but I was just like, I need to focus this negative mental energy towards something that isn't destructive.
Yeah, because you could just ruminate on it for days and days and days, and yeah. it would just be really self-destructive and
shitty.
It got
the thought out of my head, right? Yeah. Like, there's, like, this whole thing, like, okay, you know what? It's my problem, but I don't have any control over it. So why don't I just, like, let this go? So it's more for, like, letting me let it go than actually trying to affect some sort of change in the universe. But just chilling and waiting meant that everything kind of resolved and mm-hmm. was fine. Mm-hmm. So it was just a matter of getting through it. And I found that it really helped me because I was just like, I would laugh at myself a bit like, I'm so fucking weird. Like, I can't believe I'm just using like this black craft sand to like draw a pentacle on my fucking coffee table. Like all of these colored sand candles from the dollar store. Like, yeah. Oh, they don't have black. I'm going to have to get dark purple, I guess, and just hope that that's good enough.
Is that good enough?
It's like, oh no, we couldn't like cast a death spell on some, but we just made them very fabulous. Yeah, good enough. I'm not a violent woman, so. Nice. Yeah.
So as your kids come into teenagerhood.
Oh, God.
Now that you're reflecting on how your parents supported you in
that
way,
they're not allowed
to
ride in cars with people.
I see you. Can I compliment your parenting style just in terms of, like, your kids are really cool.
They're cool for now. They're not quite teenagers yet, so you know this is the like, calm before the storm.
They come and they hang out sometimes when we jam together. Yeah. Like your littlest one like plays guitar with us,
oh, yeah.
and like he fell asleep
He's
under
fine.
The coffee table while we were jamming. Like it was so sweet and.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm curious to see them grow up. And obviously, we don't want to talk about them on the podcast
because
they've got privacy. But mm-hmm.
they are cool kids.
They're
we
cool
can say
kids,
that much.
Yeah,
right?
I'm interested to see how they grow up and what kind of teenagers they're going to be.
Yeah,
you made them. You're pretty invested at this point.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. You can't just send them back at this point.
Nope. Yeah. So onward into the future,
yeah.
I guess.
trying to raise teen goths of our own.
Aww.
It's a very different environment now than it was back when we were teenagers.
We had to really search to get our witchery and our musics and
And the thing is, like, you couldn't just Google any like cultural.
You had to go to the library and use card catalogs and BBS and Modem.
And actually have to interface with another person to get the book that you
wanted.
That's
the thing.
Ugh. Yeah.
It's like now you can just like close your door.
Whatever secret shame you have, you can find it and you don't have to tell anyone. And that's kind of too bad because like at least, I don't know.
There's something
hopefully
to be
you don't
want to
feel ashamed about stuff. But like if you feel passionately enough about exploring that idea, like you had to go and make it happen.
Yeah.
You had to be serious. Like, you had to really want it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You should have to want it. Google should be like, I don't think you want this badly enough.
That's where the skill
try again later.
Question.
Like, it's a magic 8-ball. Mm-hmm. Answer unclear. Try again later.
Yeah, not today.
Yeah. We'll give you your magic spells another time when you're ready. Thanks, Google. Well, guys.
Yeah.
I think that about wraps it up.
Cool.
Thanks for bringing all of these trinkets and artifacts and wonderful things.
So for sharing your teenage vulnerability with us.
Oh, yeah.
Katie, thank you for reading a poem.
Yes, it was amazing.
Thank you so much. I'd like to think I'm a better writer now, but I don't know. It was a pretty good poem.
That was pretty good. That was pretty good. The orange flame on the porcelain skin.
And just like candle wax blend. But like somebody tried that shit with me now, I'd be like, get away from me. I'm an old woman now.
Get
my cross skin.
Yeah. I've moisturized with too much coconut oil. That, like, wax would just drip
right
on.
Slide right on it.
Oh, wow.
Oh, boy.
Well. Cool. Thanks for listening if you made it all the way through to this.
Well,
and
congratulations.
If you have any, like, fun teen stories and feel like you want to share them with us, you can email us.
And we'll put it up on our website.
Or just read them out or something or whatever. But I love teenagerhood stories so much.
Yeah. Send us your most embarrassing photos and mm-hmm. we'll just post it up there.
So it's cheggspodcast@gmail.com.
And our website is cheggs.net.
Oh, yeah, we have that now.
.com.
.net.
No, it's .net.
It's
wow.
It was our best option.
Yeah. And follow us on Twitter @cheggspod. And
we don't have a Facebook page and maybe never will.
Yeah.
So
fuck you, Facebook.
Fuck that. Suck it, Menlo Park.
What does that even mean?
It's just where Facebook is.
All right. Okay, see you next week. Bye.
Bye.